Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for June 10th, 2019.
Good morning, fellow pilgrims. What a delight to be with you again. And as I said in the last podcast, I'm going to do some delineation, I guess would be the words, of John chapter 13 through 17. I want to go through it carefully, and I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to just breathe upon the scriptures as we read them together. Last time I began in verse 1 of John 14, where Jesus is responding and saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And then later when Thomas says he doesn't know the way, Jesus says in verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father by me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I've read that with the emphasis on that word believe. And I want to read something now from the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus begins to explain more what he's doing in verse 19 of John 5. Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." Then over in the same chapter, he says, "I can do nothing," in verse 30, "on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father, or the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true." Now, what I've been talking to you about in the last podcast, and I'm going to continue, and I'm going to do some, I've tried to find a word, delineation of what I mean, as I talk about believing. We're asked by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy that I read last week that the Scripture is inbreathed of God. We also read in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus talks about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth. We talked about that. And then we talked about in John 20, about the prayer of Jesus. But we're going to begin believing, and we're going to talk a little more about what it means to believe. And I'm going to take some time to do a little, I don't know if I would call it word study, but some things that have come to mind, because I've realized that people believe a lot of things and yet never really act on them. Let me give you an example. One of the examples Billy Graham used to use was the example of a canyon bridge that you come to, and you look out upon it, and it has a bridge across the canyon, and you can say, I believe that that bridge will hold me. But that kind of belief is not what Jesus is talking about. The kind that Jesus is talking about says, the belief that I have, I'm willing to step out onto the bridge and walk across it. In other words, there's one thing a belief can kind of be a noun that I don't act on. You remember in the book of James, I'm going to read it to you for just a minute. Let me turn to it. In James, he tells us something about faith and works. And I want us to hear carefully what he's saying, because what he's saying is so important to our lives in Christ. And as we go through this time of belief, listen again to James in chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Do you hear what he's saying? That's a question. That's not the faith that delivers or saves. But he says, I have faith, but he doesn't do anything with it. It's again looking at the bridge and saying, oh, I believe in the bridge. It will hold me up, but I never get on the bridge. There's an old story told about someone who was going to try to cross the Niagara River above the falls, and there was a big bridge put up, and everybody was saying, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. We believe you can do it. And he said, how many of you would like to get on my back? All of a sudden, the crowd went quiet. There's a world of difference between saying I believe something and acting on it. James goes on to say, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is dead or useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac as his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Now I'm going to go back into the book of Joshua. I want us to look for just a moment at portions of that story about Rahab. And it goes, I want to check my notes here so I go to the right passage right away. It's in, Rahab is in Let me see, chapter 2, I believe. Chapter 2 of Joshua. And I'd like to read portions of it to you. Joshua, chapter 2. This is, you remember, when they're crossing the river and they're going to capture this city. And there's a whole chapter here. I don't want to read it all, but I'm going to read verses enough that you'll catch the meaning that James refers to. Joshua, verse 1 of Joshua 2, the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from or were from. And it came about that when it was time for us to shut the gate at dark, the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in stalks of flax, which she laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them. And I'm just jumping down a couple more verses. And she says to the men now, after the other people have left, I know the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. She goes on and on. And then she said about their hearts being melted. And then in verse 12 she says, now therefore please swear to me, by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth. Spare my father and my mother, brothers and sisters, with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. And she let them down through the window. And they told her, you know, leave a cord of scarlet out the window, and when we see it, we'll say, leave those people alone. And if anybody violates that, their blood will be on our hand, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we'll be free of our oath. So anyway, they go. The men returned. Israel crosses the Jordan. And they finally come to, in Joshua, I think it's chapter 5. Let me just turn to it quickly here. And the sons of Israel come and are saving Rahab and her entire family. So the family was going to be saved. That was the promise. Well, remember that they march around Jericho and the walls come tumbling down after 7 times of marching. And the people shout and they go in and they really take the city. And they were utterly destroyed, everything in the city. But I want to go in verse 22 now of Joshua 6. And Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. And then they burned the rest of it. They kept the silver and the gold. And then in verse 25, Rahab and the harlot and her father's household and all she had was spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, that's a tremendous thing to say because it goes back to what, you remember what James said? He said, for in the same way was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. I wanted to read you something from the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. I thought you might find this very, very interesting. Okay, it is in the first chapter it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it goes down through Boaz and Rahab in verse 5. And to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth, and to Obed Jesse, and Jesse was born David. And if you'll notice that Rahab is in the genealogy. Now I say that and take the time that it was her action. It wasn't her profession, certainly, that gave her the right. It was what she acted on, what she believed. And I'm going to continue talking about belief, but I want to preface it by reading something from yesterday's devotion in My Utmost for His Highest. It's in June 8th, rather. I'm going to read just a couple of sentences from two pages of devotionals from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. The first one's from June 6th, and the text he uses is Work Out Your Own Salvation, Philippians 2:12. And here's the first sentence. Your will agrees with God, but in your flesh there is a disposition which renders you powerless to do what you know you ought to do. When the Lord is presented to the conscience, the first thing conscience does is to rouse the will, and the will always agrees with God. Look to Jesus, and you will find that your will and your conscience are in agreement with Him every time. The thing in you which makes you say, I shan't, is something less profound than your will. It is perversity or obstinacy, and they are never in agreement with God. Interesting. And then across the page in June 7th, whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's the text I read at the beginning from John 14. And he says this, am I fulfilling the ministry of the interior? There is no snare or any danger of infatuation or pride in intercession. It's a hidden ministry that brings forth fruit whereby the Father is glorified. Am I allowing my spiritual life to be frittered away, or am I bringing it all to one center, the atonement of our Lord? I'm going to be continuing to talk about belief, faith, because it's absolutely vital to the Christian life. Remember in Ephesians, Paul said, we are saved by grace through the will of God, that God gives us grace to be saved. But it's one thing to say, I believe, and it's another thing to act upon that belief and thereby receive. Just as Jesus told Nicodemus, and we talked about that in the last podcast, receive, receive, Nicodemus. Be born again from another realm. Well, I believe you, Jesus. However, how can I be born again? Believe is to let your will out to trust me. Will you trust me? And if you do, in that moment, the kingdom and I enter, and you can enter both. I have much more to say about this believing, so I ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on the words that we've been talking about, to just remember the harlot, Rahab, and she's in the genealogy of Jesus. Isn't that something? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rahab, the believer. Well, God bless you. May the Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.